Here we go. It's hour number five of the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the Omni in Frisco as evening descends across North Texas. And tonight you will go to bed knowing that the Cowboys have a new offensive coordinator and perhaps a new offensive direction for the first time in a long time with America's Team General at your service. Salute to you. There's the former Cowboy Scout, NFL Executive, Super Bowl champion, Brian Broaddus. He is here in his natural environment inside the Star, right next to the Ford Center. You have Lucius Alexander back home with the Pimp Cup at Master Control there at 75 and Fitzhugh, keeping the Gators down best he can. Chiafalo is here. Ruben Portillo is remote engineering, set to head off to New Orleans for our Radio Row coverage next week. We'll fly in after Monday's show and have content all the way through for you. I think Craig Gass, the comedian, is going to be there on Monday, Brian, so he might sit down with you there at the table. And you're going to be there already on Monday, aren't you?
Yes, I will be there. I'm leaving Sunday morning, driving over, and looking forward to it, getting in there Sunday evening and help get set up and then be ready to go on Monday. So
right on.
And I'll pick you guys up at the airport Monday night.
Yeah, we'll be soaking up the New Orleans vibes and sharing our adventures with you 2 to 7 every afternoon. Okay, at 877-881-1053, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you. Are you with us? You know, is this a moment to sort of take a breath and maybe consider the Cowboys? They hit rock bottom. They understood they were going nowhere fast. I mean, if the entire season didn't do that for you, I think the last three playoff games and then the start to this season with Dak Prescott just must have been so sobering. But what you have here with the hiring of Clayton Adams and Schottenheimer is a turn to the running game. And you're like, okay, great, running game. It's a passing league. What are you going to do for me there? But the fact that Will McClay was more involved in the coaching search and the interview process than ever before. And then when you did decide on Schottenheimer, now he has authority and control. And they go out and find an offensive coordinator that has been responsible for, you know, installing a diverse and multiple run game and marrying the run game to the pass game, like the things that we've been asking the Cowboys to do. There's Schottenheimer at his press conference on Monday talking about splits and shifts and motions. Okay, so the Cowboys, you know, for a long time I think have been heavy-handed. And, you know, we've been very frustrated with how the Joneses have done things. And if you, you know, you remember in the past and you're like, man, I've gotten my hopes up too many times, I understand. You know, I definitely understand if your hopes and dreams have been trampled so many times as a Cowboys fan that you're like, you know what, I'm not doing it, right? But I know that if there is gold in these hills, you'll be back early next season. You know, if the Cowboys have an innovative offensive approach, if they're taking pressure off Dak Prescott and they're bringing that front back into the box and then torching them with play action, you're going to be excited, you know? So maybe you think I'm gullible right now, thinking maybe there is a chance, but I just think it's the process of the way that this thing has evolved and the resume of the guy that they're bringing in that gives me faith. Even if the Schottenheimer hiring is kind of embarrassing because nobody else ever wanted to make him their head coach, I get that. You know, maybe it isn't the ideal guy to lead this, but it's the Cowboys. They're going to do things differently. And when they let go from Mike McCarthy, I was convinced they were going to end up with an inferior coaching staff. Now I'm quite convinced they've done themselves quite a big favor here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and the biggest thing about Schottenheimer being the head coach for me was, like, he's still going to be the play caller, and how much of this still just going to be his old recycled offense. Like, all the other stuff about being a head coach, we have no idea. We see guys all the time that we think are going to be awesome, and they don't have what it takes to actually be a great head coach. Schottenheimer might have all of that. My big question was, what's the offense going to look like if Schottenheimer is the guy that's calling the plays? And for the first time, I mean, first time in that I can remember that you've actually tried to advance things offensively and get with the times. Like, ever since you were going to Jason Garrett, that's a guy who was living on 90s principles. Scott Linehan, same thing. Mike McCarthy, same thing. Kellen Moore's the one guy who's young and we thought maybe, but he was a guy that grew up under Garrett and Linehan. So all of his concepts and principles were all that stuck in the 90s. This is the first offensive hire of a guy who really has the ability to be an architect on things. He's not just some random position coach. This is a guy who's going to be doing a lot of the designing offensively, and it is a with the times design, and I can't remember the last time they had that offensively.
No, or defensively. You know, I think it's been a franchise that has trended behind maybe a decade on a lot of the trends, really, you know, since the 90s. Adams, meanwhile, 41 years old, with the Cardinals the last two seasons. Cardinals had the 7th-ranked run game in the NFL last year at 144 with 5.3 an attempt, Brian.
Yeah, okay. And this is, I'm going to credit Nick Harris on this because he and I have been trying to run this down. Here's the breakdown of how Arizona ran the ball last year. You ready for this?
Yeah.
These are just all the rushes they had. Inside zone, 170 of those. That's at 20%. Man, that's just man blocking across, 156. That's 18%. Outside zone, 152 of those. That's at 18%. Counters, 138. That's at 16%. Pull lead, that's the pin and pull stuff, 123 of those. That's at 14%. Power, 55. That's about 6%. Sneak, 20 of those for 2%. Trap, 19 of those for 2%. Trick plays, they had 18 trick plays off running snaps. That's 2%. Draw of 9. That's 1%, and fullback run of 8, that's 0.9. So you can see, like, he's not married to one way. He's going to run some inside zone stuff, as we've seen, you know, with the way the blocking step, guy in your zone, take that guy, make the cut. Man scheme, just take the guy, you know, one-on-one, try and get some space there. Outside zone, of course, that, you know, is what it is. Everybody step, get the ball to the edge. But the counter at 138 and the pull lead at 123, those are pretty significant numbers of that down block, the pull, the pins, the things that we, you know, this is the things that all of a sudden you're running zone, and then you take it the other way, you know, then you pin guys, you get blockers on the edge, you get them in space. That's pretty, you know, when you look at how that's all broken down, it's not just married to one thing.
Yeah, it's not like this is a one-trick pony offense, and we know that
the way he runs the ball, he's going to try – he's got a little bit of everything when it comes to running or how to run the football.
I mean, the days of having like a bread-and-butter play that you could run
counter
all the way into the playoffs
like
with
the old, the old, yeah. the Washington – at the time, the Redskins, Commanders today with Joe Gibbs. They ran counter Trey over and over and over again, and nobody could ever stop it. But now you have to be more diverse because people will stack a box on you. They'll play light box on you. You know, they give you different looks with single high, safeties down, you know. All different fronts, over and under fronts. So, yeah, he's telling me by the way that he's – the plays that they're calling – that they're not, if you try and stop them from doing this, they're going to turn around and run this.
Well, there's a 77% chance at best that they're going to do something else.
Yeah.
Like when you get set to run, the thing you do most often is only 23% of the time.
Right.
You can't trust your instincts and your gut and your eyes on that because you're going to get screwed.
He's running inside zone and man scheme stuff about the same. The outside zone and the counter's about the same. The pull lead. I mean, he's running... It's not like he's just hunting, you know, he's hunting different things that like, okay, maybe we go into this game and we're going to be pin and pull team because the Cowboys are really, they're going to try and get up the field and we feel like we could just pin their edges and pull guys around that they can't win on the edge and they're not good enough. We could crack them. We could get guys in space, or you might play somebody different that might play a little heavier on the edge. And now what's he going with? He's going with an inside zone game to try and get those guys to widen a little bit, and then they're going to take the ball inside. So
And then when you adjust for that,
he's going to turn around. Yeah,
you have counter punches. You have answers for whatever defense, whatever front you have there. You're prepared for it.
We've watched so many times the Cowboys, and you don't need to be the former scout or have all 22 tape. You watch the game, and you see balls going inside with the Cowboys. Balls going inside. It never seemed like there was anything. There was an occasional crack toss and things like that. So, you know, anyway, but so
you know what it kind of reminded me of is
excuse me just a second, guys. I got to go do something real quick.
Listening to how Kobe Bryant would try to make himself unscoutable. You know what I'm saying? Like Kobe Bryant would count how many times he's gone right and how many times he's gone left. How many times he's spun back to the left. And as he's going through a season, he would try to match it up to get even so anybody preparing to try to defend Kobe Bryant tonight wouldn't be leaning one way or another with an advantage.
Yep.
And it's, you know, not only that, then you add,
wow, Broadus just did the alpha move of putting his headset down. He saw Matt Eberflus, your new Cowboys defensive coordinator, roaming the outdoors of the Star here in Frisco. He got himself up off the broadcast position, went out there. Now he's shaking hands and talking shop. Look at that. And how good does Eberflus look, man? Fresh cut, silver fox, ready to go tear it up. It looks like he's got a play sheet in his hand.
Yes. A few years older than when last we saw him, but definitely.
He's aged well.
He has.
You know?
Yeah, he's not put on too much weight at all. I think Brian's trying to talk Matt Eberflus, new Cowboys defensive coordinator, into joining us here at the broadcast position as we're live at the Omni Hotel in Frisco. This has been an incredible sightseeing, people-watching type of a destination for us. Salute to Stella Artois for having us out once again. They've had us at some of the most popular swanky spots in all of DFW throughout this campaign, and we salute Stella Artois so much for, you know, having us at this place. But I mean, we met last hour the new offensive coordinator Clayton Adams that we're talking about. But yeah, you talk about what you're putting on film and your tendencies, and the smartest teams have been very aware of that. So you got the defense guessing, and now you add the splits and the shifts and the motions on top of that that could have them further thinking. You know, we talked about about the Jaden Daniels virtual reality headset.
Yes.
And how that allows you to go from actively thinking and trying to remember what should I do in this situation to just I've seen everything and now I can read and react, right? Mm-hmm. When you have an offense that is asking so many questions constantly of the defense, only the most experienced players on the other side are going to have a great idea, you know?
Yes.
And even then, they're still having to wait to see. It's not going to go back to the Jason Garrett offense where the majority of the defense knew which play you were going to run based on the way you were set up in the down and distance.
Right, right. The defense can't really key in on much, and I just imagine the headaches that defensive coordinators have in a week when they're trying to prepare for a team like this, and you have to spend time on all those different types of run concepts that Broadus was just breaking down for us. That's a heavy load for a defense to have to consider. And this dude, Clayton Adams, with the Cardinals, he would use a lot of multi-tight end sets as well. You go heavy, and that is when you talk about getting chunk plays out of the passing game, because you go heavy personnel because you can run out of it that way, and you creatively mix in your tight ends into the rushing attack and in the blocking, and then all of a sudden you play action out of that, and the defense has heavy personnel on the field as well. When you look over the last 5 years or so in the NFL, out of heavy personnel sets, if you can consistently pass out of that, because the defense is thinking run. So yes. I just think this is the type of offense that will keep defenses on their heels in the run game and in the pass game.
Yes. No, I think that's genius. And, you know, to me, a lot of it comes back to how you're going to get Dak Prescott favorable looks. And for far too long, they've expected Dak without a running game to be able to look into that clogged secondary and still make plays. And it's not going to work. I mean, it even massively slowed down the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. You know, so logic would say if your quarterback is not as good as Mahomes, then you might want to do something about it to get that defense up again. And I think going to tight ends, going play action, and forcing their hand to come up and challenge this to give you favorable looks on the back end is the only way to bring chunk plays and explosive scoring in here for these Cowboys. What did Matt Eberflus have to say to you, Brian?
Matt wanted to say, I was talking to him. He's really super happy about it. He says, hey, know you're on the radio over there. And he says, you work with 105.3 The Fan.
Cool.
So I guess he knew what our situation was.
Of course he does.
But David Overstreet said, hey, if you wanted a little scoop, David Overstreet, who he's bringing, he was the Nichols coach with the Bears, he's bringing him over to coach corners here.
Okay.
So he said, hey, a little scoop.
Oh, nice.
Little scoop.
Oh, that hasn't been announced yet.
No, it hadn't been announced, but David Overstreet's going to coach. But he's excited about being here, looking forward to putting together the staff. I was just kind of visiting with him about, you know, hey, we've been talking about you. He goes, this is a really great situation for me. So looking forward, I said, well, we'll see at OTAs or draft or something like that, we'll catch back up. He says, please do.
When we did a much more amateur version of the draft show at the Fan, this was pre-Brian Broaddus, we would be at Valley Ranch, you know, covering Saturdays and Sundays. And we interviewed Eberflus the year they drafted Hitchens.
Yeah.
I think that was 2013 or 2014. And I remember how big of a story it was that he was leaving, because this was a rising star who was leaving to go be the defensive coordinator at the Colts at the time.
Right.
And that was unfortunate. I wanted to ask you about offensive line coach, because I saw in this story that even though they brought in Clayton Adams, an offensive line coach, the last couple of years, they want to bring in a separate O-line coach. Do we know who that might be or where they're leaning?
Well, see, if that's the case, then they didn't say, you know,
about Linda Wells.
Yeah. Is Linda Wells going to be the offensive line coach? They didn't say what position they were bringing him in for. I'll try and circle back on that and see if I can dig that information up. We might have an idea about that.
Dig up our buddy Mark Colombo to get back in the mix.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah.
A little O-line coach action.
I know, Brian, you've told us for years that offensive line coach might be the most important job other than head coach.
Todd Archer and I have talked about this a bunch, and you know, Todd will tell me, he's like, listen, you know, fine, tell me the two coordinators, great. Tell me who the offensive line coach is, and I'll tell you if the staff's any good or not.
Well, you just got one of the best offensive line coaches in football to come be the offensive coordinator, and we're excited. We're optimistic, at least open-minded about where this thing can go. I think you're going to have to spend some money in free agency to batten down the hatches a little bit on defense, and if you can do that and then get into the draft and find a running back, wide receiver, and offensive lineman to contribute, maybe we might be cooking by the time we get to OTAs. Maybe we can see the signs of a new and innovative offense and start harvesting gold from that. But Chief, I believe it's time for a Friday news dump. Before we get to all that, where are you heading?
Yes, and we'll try and answer the question of what this new OC hire implicates for the Cowboys draft. That's next year in the Nation.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live here at the Omni in Frisco, thanks to Stella Artois. Still 30 minutes left in the show. If you're in the area, come on by, crack a couple, maybe take a picture with us, fellowship. Segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankofirm.com. Here's the Chief with that Friday news dump.
Okay, Mavericks in action right now. Dante Exum back after the wrist surgery that's kept him out for a majority of this entire season. He's back tonight versus the Pistons. You have Klay Thompson starting off on fire. Another fast start for Klay. 4 of 6 from the field. 2 of 4 from downtown. 10 early points for Klay Thompson as the Mavs look to try and beat a Detroit team that is, you know, certainly not the easiest out in the world. They're no Wizards, but they are definitely an average enough team that you need to go get that dub.
Sorry, Eric, if I could. Had an update. Remember we were asking the question about coaching tight ends, offensive line?
Yes.
For right now, Adams on the O-line, Linda Wells on the tight ends. That's where they're going right now.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just
want
to give you a heads up on that.
And you'd almost prefer it that way, like, because Adams is not the play caller. It's not like he has that heavy responsibility that he has to do. He's obviously going to be the right-hand man of Brian Schottenheimer, game planning and installing the new offense. But him being the offensive line coach over these last few years, a guy that probably wants to be like, hey, I know how important this is. If I want it done right, I got to do it my damn self. So if he was also the play caller, that's probably a lot to ask. But I think installing this in year one, you want the expert of all experts to get this thing off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because he's going to have that eye for detail. Maybe after a couple of years, you bring somebody else in that can sort of be his understudy just in case he leaves for a head coaching job.
But yes,
hopefully he's so good that, you know, you're earmarking him for your next guy if it doesn't work out for Schottenheimer. Or maybe this hire turns out to be so good that, you know, you want to trust Schottenheimer to go do it again.
Yeah. Like he clearly has a prowess for going and finding the right guy to bring in here. I'm super, super excited about this. And I wonder what this does to the Cowboys draft plans. Hmm. What type of guys Adams is going to want for his particular offense. He has the Boise State connection, being a guy who played there and graduated from there. So maybe Ashton Jeanty becomes more likely.
I think so.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think you got to look at it like they're prioritizing run games so hard. You know, Jane Slater talked with Shoddy over the weekend, and the final question was, you can go find it on our social media, is, you know, we're not going to do running back by committee anymore, are we? Almost like, you know, they'd been talking about, hey, we're going to get a star running back in here. And Schottenheimer answered it like, you know, we'll see. You have to be flexible and, you know, ebb and flow with the strengths of your roster. But I think preferably they want to add a star player at running back. And, you know, looking at the teams that made the conference championship weekend, like star players at running back might be, you know, a difference-making kind of position here in this NFL right now.
Yeah, definitely. And especially when you're pairing that with a, you know, a great plan offensively. Yeah. Now you take Saquon Barkley with the Giants, which had some really good seasons and had some seasons where he played like 13, 14 games and totaled like 500 yards rushing.
Yeah.
But when you get him with, you know, a Jeff Stoutland, a guy who's concocting a great rushing attack for the Eagles, all of a sudden now you're getting the best version of whatever. And that's the good part, too. It's like, even if you don't have the superstar guy, you get the B running back who's going to play like a B plus to an A running back. When you have the system in place and the plan in place, you're going to get the most out of guys.
Yeah, and I want at least the quality of James Conner. You know, I think that's like a good
absolutely.
Bar to shoot for.
I think, yeah. You know, when you start to talk about Adams and connections to Boise, the one thing that you just can hope for there, and I'm not saying they're going to take Jeanty, but at least you'll have a little bit more insight. You know, like that those – the Boise coach, you know, the player connection, like, okay, maybe you could dive in a little bit more about this kid. Maybe they're telling you something because you're one of them that the other teams aren't getting from it. Hmm. You know, maybe it takes them one way or another. Like, listen, we don't want this kid because, or we do want this kid because. So that's where I think his Boise connections would help. It might put it over the goal line, or it might keep him from drafting the guy.
I mean, they definitely need some help in their first round intangibles.
Yeah.
You know, any help they can get with kind of depressed guy and then an immature guy in back-to-back first rounds, a little disappointing.
Yeah, that is a little disappointing.
And I think it's fair to be hopeful that the, you know, you can accelerate the growth from your young offensive linemen like a Tyler Guyton, like a Cooper Beebe, and Beebe had a nice year, but how much better can that be for Cooper Beebe in a different system with a better O-line coach?
I was wondering about that when you brought that up, like how does this impact your draft plans? Do you look at it now like, let's see how this offensive line performs in a better scheme, like this is good enough? Or do you think, well, with a scheme like this that we're investing in, let's go get premium offensive linemen that can really start knocking guys around?
Yeah, and I mean, you've seen the Cardinals take first-round offensive linemen, but they Adams is coming from a place in Arizona that was very productive with the way they ran the football and, you know, kept their quarterback from being sacked and pressured, and they did it without. It wasn't like he had five Pro Bowl or All Pro type offensive linemen. They were battling injuries on that offensive line, just average to slightly above average dudes that he was making. You know, a top 3 to 5 rushing attack over the last couple of years. So he's proven that he doesn't necessarily have to have a line of five first rounders
and just one star wide receiver, right? And a rookie at that in Arizona. It's not like you were generating all this run game off the opposition being terrified of your receiving core, you know. So
quarterback too, though, big play. That's got to be hard to block for a guy that runs around as much as that quarterback does. He's never in the same spot. You know, he goes back to pass, and now he's scrambling around and all that. Man, that's hard on your offensive lineman, but that guy makes a big difference the way that he's able to kind of get out of trouble when he gets into it.
But 5.3 an attempt.
Oh, yeah.
Just play good defense.
Oh, no, Connor.
Dude. Connor. You're winning double-digit games if you can recreate that here.
Yeah.
This is all very exciting stuff. And hopefully he looks at a guy like Tyler Guyton and is just excited.
He
about
needs help. Tyler Guyton needs help. He needs help.
Yes.
He needs somebody to really coach him up. I'm sorry. I mean, Mike Solari, I sound like I'm killing him. But he needs somebody. Like, the one thing that I heard about Adams was that veterans or rookies, it didn't matter. He was coaching them the same way. You know, sometimes you get coaches that just don't want to deal with a rookie player.
Okay, let's take a look at some things here on the Friday News Dump. I saw that there are some reports that there's the talk in league circles is that Bill Belichick was not pleased, to say the least, that Brady's Raiders went with Pete Carroll. But they know, like, Belichick can never say that because then it would undercut all the things that he has going for him right now at UNC, where he's acting like he's super all in and excited, and this was always the plan. This is where he wants to be. He can't.
So he's bummed he didn't get the Raider gig?
Well, I'm sure if you're Belichick, you're thinking, like, man,
why didn't you talk to me?
If you wanted
Pete
Carroll,
if you're going to talk to a 70-year-old guy, why not me?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you never know exactly what Brady's plan. Brady's initial plan was probably to try to go all out and get Ben Johnson. And so it's like you can't keep Belichick waiting in the wings trying to go get Ben Johnson. I don't think Brady a month ago would have thought, yeah, Pete Carroll's going to be our guy. Certainly wouldn't have been at the top of the list. But I get why Belichick's looking around going like, man, with the way all these things ended, I could have been with the Raiders.
I know you say some things for appearances, like, you know, but I just feel like it's undeniable truth that Brady left because of Belichick. And the things that have been said about the culture of criticism and at times suggesting abuse, you know, that the Patriots players suffered. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, you know, that's Belichick saying that to maintain the myth that Brady and Belichick don't hate each other's guts.
Yeah,
you know, I can't imagine the way that I understand it. Tom Brady would want to bring somebody like him into his organization. Not only would he not want to work with him, but he wouldn't want to subject the players to it. That's
yeah.
my understanding of it.
Yeah, no, you might be totally right, because they put on this facade right now in front of the cameras and the microphones that everything's cool, and they did the roast, and every time you turn around, you hear one of them. I mean, Belichick just said it should be named the Brady Trophy instead of the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah,
but you have to think there's some underlying things there, because if you're Brady and you thought there was any inkling that
Belichick would take the job, he's way better than Pete.
For sure, yeah. So just thought that was interesting. How about this? The Nevada sports books reportedly lost a net $2.1 million on football in the month of December. So the people bested the books in Vegas when it comes to gambling on football in the month of December. It's the first losing month on an NFL regular season in 12 years. Whoa. For Nevada sports books.
Yeah, they. What happened a lot is the favorites won. Yeah, I think the wise guys play underdogs a lot, and every time he turned around, it was a cover. I know, because I was trying to bet the dogs.
I think the biggest bet we've seen right now for the Super Bowl, $110,000 on the Eagles and Chiefs to hit the under of 49.5. Now, when they played in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, I mean, it was 38-35 was the final score. I mean, it was a barn burner.
Yeah,
it was a fireworks show.
Yeah.
But obviously, I mean, two really, really good defenses, and you've seen the Chiefs can basically just kind of play whatever game they need to. Mm. If it's a slog, you know, just go get 20
points.
Well,
they can win a 19-17 game.
They could, exactly.
They could beat Carolina.
And to be fair, I mean, if Barkley is hitting explosives, I mean, the Eagles can definitely put up some points as well. So
Chiefs just had their first 30-point game of this year, though, right? Is that what happened against the Bills?
Yeah.
First time they hit 30 all year?
All year, yeah.
I don't think against the Eagles. I'm going under.
You're going under 49.5?
Yeah.
So you think this score ends up somewhere around like 24-21 or something like, if it's close?
Yeah, 24-20, something like that. I don't think either of these defenses, neither of these offenses have been compelling that you should bet on. I think that's a fair number. I'm taking the under.
All right. Well, so is this guy, 110 grand. I believe that's the biggest bet we've seen, at least according to Caesars. And
that's light work so
book.
Far, isn't it? Mayweather hasn't weighed in, if that's the case.
No, yeah. I think the heavy hitters are going to come crashing down over the course of the next 7 days or so. And probably as you inch closer and closer to actually kickoff next weekend and whatnot, you'll see some big money.
Hey, didn't Mayweather Mayweather have like his people protesting outside of his strip
loans? Yes, dude.
I'll be mad as hell if I see him place a bet, bro.
Yeah, I need to circle back. I need to get an update on that story because yes, as of like a month ago, whatever business he runs in
the strip club, was it the Doll Girls or something like that?
The Girl Collection.
The Girl Collection. There you
payroll go, has been discontinued at the Girl Collection.
I think so, dude. They're getting they were picketing.
Appreciate your volunteer service.
Yeah. Thanks for all that you do for the community.
They had signs outside. It said no money team.
No. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Where's this club located? What city?
Got to be Las Vegas.
Vegas.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Vegas. It's Vegas. Okay. All right.
Yeah, sure is.
Wow.
Okay. We do have a giant bone to pick here. I don't know if you guys saw the viral video of Dan Orlovsky eating a Reese's peanut butter cup. Is this not this is such a look at me, Louie situation.
Yeah.
This is
look
you,
at me, Louie.
You are trying to
antagonize you.
Yeah, you're trying to go viral.
I think this is those damn ESPN producers trying to do shtick instead of sports once again. Mm. I can't imagine Orlovsky is this silly or low IQ to actually try to pull this off. I imagine if you did want to extract the peanut butter inside from the peanut butter cup, you would get a fork and knife out. You know, you could do surgery on that pretty easily.
Just cut the top, cut the sides.
Because he says he doesn't like milk chocolate, so he nibbles off all the chocolate and spits it out until he gets to the point where it's just the innards of the cup, which is the peanut butter, and then he consumes that. As if he can't just go get a jar of peanut butter anywhere he wants it.
Not buying it.
And you're still tasting the milk chocolate by doing the thing of biting it. Like, yes, you're not chewing and swallowing it, but you're still getting that flavor in your mouth when you're alleging that that's the reason why you don't want to eat this.
You can get
the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
You can get the dark chocolate peanut butter cups if you want. There are a lot of ways around this, but yeah, I think these are viral video producers that ESPN has brilliantly employed now as their show producers, and that's why the sports content quality on that network has been in a slow decline over the last probably two decades.
Mm-mm.
And I really don't watch any of it anymore, Chief. It's a sad time.
It is. Yeah. Also a sad time for the gentleman who is apparently allegedly a drug kingpin.
I saw that one.
The authorities have been chasing him for a long time. He went on a family vacation, and his wife started posting all the
they figured out where they were.
Checks. Yes, and now he got because of it.
Yeah, he was living the high life, you know. Mm-hmm. He was in some sort of a tropical locale, probably an island, something like that, living it up, had money for days. He and his wife were just enjoying the good times, and she started flexing on Instagram.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, got him.
You gotta be way more buttoned up than that. And, you know, he needs to give it the reminder, especially when they're on a vacation type setting. Honey, remember the situation.
Yeah.
I deal drugs for a living.
Yes.
We're doing this because I do illegal things all the time.
We are on the run right now.
I know you're trying to flex for all your Instagram followers, but let's keep this thing to a minimum, and let's not put our location where we are vacationing.
Yeah.
That's drug lording 101. I mean, come on. Everybody knows that.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
A Friday News Dump is in the books once again. We're live at the Omni in Frisco with our friends from Stella Artois. They've done it big. Throughout the football season here into 2025, we're going huge with Stella Artois, all right? It's a football Friday, and the Cowboys have a new offensive coordinator. The Mavs are in action, and you have the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake coming up from 7 to 11. We're back to talk about it with them here in the nation. Thank you, Lucius. Thanks to everybody for making us part of your day. A monster football Friday here in the G-Bag Nation. Cowboys have a new offensive coordinator. You can read about that. We've covered it all right next door to the Ford Center at the Star up here at the Omni Hotel in Frisco. Just a majestic property. And salute to our friends at Stella Artois for having us out. They've been great sponsors of ours here in the G-Bag Nation and 105 through the Fan. And they're also promoting the Dallas Open with Francis Tiafoe, the official tennis player of Stella Artois. Big event here this weekend over here at the Ford Center with world-class tennis as the Cowboys making a big move into the tennis world as well for the first time. So a lot of stuff going down up here, and down a 75 and fits you. It's time now for the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. And a good evening, boys. How we doing?
Feeling blessed. One of the better Fridays that Blake has had. An eventful one. It's been a great day here in the Blake household.
What happened?
Well, today, me and my lady, we went to the shelter and we got two new cats. So two kittens have joined the Blake household. I got some steaks marinating that I'll be cooking when I get home.
There you go.
And the great sports news, Dante Exum's first game with the Mavs, new OC. Just a great day right now to be alive.
So do I detect any sarcasm there with the acquisition of two new cats? You excited about that?
No.
It sounds like you lost that battle.
No, I was excited.
I thought you said you were cooking the cats. What did you say?
Oh, no.
They're eating the cats.
I got my pick with the orange cat. The lady got her pick with the kitten. So both are done. They got each other. And now when I'm at work, they have companions for each other.
No voodoo with these cats, right?
Not that I
can say signing on the cats.
Nothing yet.
So are you going to be on litter duty or how does that work? Because that's disgusting.
Oh, no, that's my least favorite. So we'll be getting one of the nicer ones that maybe can do self shifting or sifting or whatever it's called. But they did just use the litter box when I left, so I didn't have to do the first duty. So we'll see about that when I get home.
I got to deal with my kids. We're not getting a cat until we have a cat door that goes outside to a shelter with an exhaust vent that's blowing, because once that kitty litter smell gets inside of your house, even when the cat is gone, you're looking at least 180 days.
Yeah, there's no going back from that.
Yeah. Ooh. No.
It's worth it. It's worse than chain smoking heaters.
Yeah,
in your house.
This is exactly.
I know that from experience.
Well, exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah. it's rough, man. I mean, it sounds like your lady is super like domestic though. She's going to keep things super clean and decorated and whatnot. Hopefully, so that at least gives you a fighting chance.
And she's had cats before, so she's pretty prepared. I'm the new cat owner. So.
Hey, if you don't clean up after your cats, can't she like poison you? Give you like toxoplasma, some crazy something like that?
Yeah, little cat flu.
They start walking around where they took a dump. They track that all around your house.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's some real nasty
stuff.
No
one said that on the text line last night.
That's a real thing. Crazy cat ladies are a real thing.
Yeah, they are.
So how the hell are you doing, Fred? You get some cats today or what?
No, I am sans animals, and I like to keep it that way. I've got two grown children, so that's all the headache I need.
You did have some good news today, though. Share it with the G-Bag boys.
What's that? Well, I mean, no, you know, just roof season's picking back up again, and
there you go.
Climbed the roof over in the colony, and we're gonna get it bought. So just trying to make that paper, and just getting back into the swing of things. It was a beautiful, and you guys already know. You guys mentioned it. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous weather today. I'll tell you what, great day to be alive, great day to be outside, and a great day to have a new offensive coordinator.
But as beautiful as the weather was today, nothing more beautiful than that storm Wednesday night, right? That was raining $1,000 bills for you.
Yeah, I mean,
is that what really made it happen?
Well, all that does is, I mean, since there was no hail, all that does is tell you if you got leaks or not, and then you get to climb and decide, okay, are you going to have? Do you need a roof, or you just need a repair? So, but we're in transit. We're doing a few things. Me and one of my guys. So we got some things cooking, so to speak. But again, it was a great Friday, and I'd much rather climb roofs in 65-degree weather as opposed to 105-degree weather.
Fred, you consider yourself an honest guy when it comes to telling me about my roof.
What? Oh, absolutely. Oh, no. Okay. Look, because here's the thing, and this is the reality of it. There's no sense in telling you, hey, you need a new roof, or hey, let's file a claim, because then if your roof's not bad and the adjuster comes out, then you're an a-hole and you've wasted your time and their time. So,
okay.
No, it's look, you either got damage or you don't. I'm a call it like I see it kind of guy.
That's what I appreciate about you, Fred.
Yeah, Fred.
Now, what's coming up on the show tonight?
Well, we're going to talk a little. Obviously, we'll talk a little Clayton Adams as far as, what does he bring? And obviously, you guys talked a little bit about, as far as the running game is concerned, what he brings from that standpoint. When you look at where he's been, the one thing, my only question is this, and I'm just playing devil's advocate with this, and look, we are on the Brian Schottenheimer optimism train. My only question about Clayton Adams, though, is that, like, if you're somebody from, like, the Shanahan tree, or if you're from the McVay tree, okay, so you got that lineage, right? I mean, he's from the Colorado back when they sucked tree, the Indianapolis Colts tree. So, I mean, who's kind of the offensive guru that he's coached under? And that's my question as far as, what's he bringing from that standpoint?
Yeah, what are his major influences? Do you have a clear answer for that, Chief, or is he kind of a self-made man who's just paying attention and figuring it out as he goes?
Yeah, I mean, David Shaw at Stanford.
David Shaw at Stanford.
David Shaw, big time run dude.
And physicality kind of guy.
And the offensive coordinator that he was just working under in Arizona is a guy that's gotten a lot of love over the last couple of years as being one of the young, hotshot offensive minds with what he's done with the Cardinals. So I just think he's well-versed, and the proof is in the pudding with where he's been. Like, even those Colts teams, I guess that was like Sirianni was the play caller there, but look at those rushing attacks that they had. Jonathan Taylor was getting it done in a big way.
That's true. So I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer on this. It's just
it's a fair question.
That's my only thing. But hey, if the dude, look, the one thing we do know, and you guys talked about it, is the guy knows how to coach up a run game. He knows how to coach up an offensive line, and that's obviously two things that, when we look at this season last year, two things that definitely could have improved.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Have a great night.
Thank
have a great
you.
Weekend.
You
and
too.
We'll talk at you Monday. Thanks to Stella Artois for putting us out here at the Omni Frisco Hotel. It's been an enchanted afternoon of broadcasting. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control there. 75 and Fitzhugh just went 5 flawless once again. Ruben Portillo, Remote Engineering, Brian Broaddus, and Eric Chiafalo will all be back on Monday. Until then, I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Patties.